We are continuing on, what are you afraid of? And you have to say it that way. In a couple of weeks, we're going to change the inflection. But right now, we're doing it of, what are you afraid of? Part two. Now, a little bit of review, and then we're going to push play, because I noticed numbers were not here last week. And I want you to give a little bit of a heads up as we continue to navigate in this series. But we're going to be looking at fear, but we're going to be looking at it from different angles. Bad fear, good fear. I'm letting you in on a secret, but there's bad fear and then there's good fear. But right now we're talking about bad fear, yucky fear, no good fear, yucky fear. Say no to yucky fear. Yeah. Did you actually know? I just learned this last week. But did you know that there actually is a virtual fear greed index tracking our economy? A fear greed index tracking our spending habits. But more than our spending habits, it's really the essence of what directs people's behavior and their lives. It's either by fear or greed. At least that's what the world says is what's motivating every single person, is either fear or greed. Motivating every single life. I would like to add one other today, and it's not in there. And I say, to that. And I say there's another motivation in the world. It's the motivation of love. I thought I would have had a huge cheer on that one. Thank you, Abby. God love you. Did you notice there's no mention of love from the world? But you know what? The body of Christ, we're rising up. We prayed. I believe it was prophetic. We prayed into this morning in prayer time. There was just this overwhelming sense of love is increasing. And God's love is perfect and full and glorious and huge all the time. But where it's increasing is us attaching to his love. And the more we're taking hold of his love, and when the body of Christ, when Christians take a hold of his love, very, very cool things happen. Okay, a little bit more review, and then we're going to go in today because some really, really cool stuff. In the midst of our new normal, as you can read there, according to the Wall Street Journal, it's extreme fear that is driving our economy right now over the last 5 or 6 or 7 months. But we've got a remedy. We have a remedy right now, and his name is Jesus. Now, in the first half of the past century, which would be the 20th century, so that'd be the 1900s, fear drove the economy and drove the culture through the First and Second World War. The greatest depression that ever was on the earth happened. You know what drove the economy out of depression? War, motivated by fear. We have a better plan. In the 30s, with the whole Nazi epidemic, that's a pandemic, the Nazi pandemic. Second World War, it made the economy prosper again. And then, of course, we have the baby boomers. Any baby boomers in the house? Any baby boomers? Yeah, okay. You're not even admitting it, are you? You're not even admitting it. Yeah. Anyway, so thank God for our baby boomers. Anyway, but here's our reality, and we're almost done the review. People are living in fear. And we know that, but the Bible has already declared that long before any fear attaches to us. The Bible knows it full well. God knows us. God knows us. The Bible declares, do not be afraid over 100 times. Do not be afraid. Why? Because we struggle with it, because we're prone to it. And a scripture that I alluded to last week, and it's in reference to the end of the age, and we don't know if this is the end of the age, but we'll just say it anyway. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. We talked about that last week, the power of being shaken, and the Bible says in Hebrews that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And aren't we seeing a shaking happening in our economy? Aren't we seeing a shaking happening around our world? It just seems like there's drama and there's issues all the time. Things are being shaken. The King James says people's hearts will fail them for fear. Fail them for fear. And this is how I ended last week. Panic and fear is the reality for the world. But let me say it this way. Panic and fear must be the reality for the world. It has to be. Because if you haven't got Jesus, what have you got? I remember those night terrors in my adolescence, in my late adolescence when I was in college, 18, 19, panic attacks and night terrors all the time. And I would call my brother, I alluded to this, I would call my brother all the time to have me talk, to talk me down off the bridge. I would get panicky and I would get fearful and he would do his best. But the reality is God was setting me up to come to him. It was a setup. Where God was speaking and saying, there is nothing in this world that can help my son, only me. And then the quote I think I have here, oh my, write this down, take a picture of it. I need you to post this. I need you to tweet this. If life worked for people, then no one would come to Christ. If it worked, then no one would come to Christ. So thank God the world doesn't work. Hallelujah. Because people are coming to Jesus. We're hearing about the stuff out in the West Coast and the anti-police and the insubordination. And it's the hippie thing all over again. It's 1970 and the hippie thing all over again. And subordination and anti-government and anti-this and anti-that. And then God did something called the Jesus people, and it swept across the world, the Jesus people movement, right in the midst of the poison of this world. And we're seeing it again right now. This anti-government, rebellious, insubordination culture rising up. And in the midst of it, we're seeing God do it again, where there's a healing, where there's a glory, where there's a power from God, transforming culture for the good. Somebody say amen. And Genesis 11:6, of course, was the story where God had to come down and break the things that were happening, because the Bible says that... they had one language, and the quote from the people in Genesis, they said, well, we can do anything. We'll build a tower to our esteem and to our glory, because whatever we can do whatever we put our mind to. That's the world's mentality. And the Bible says that God had to go down and change their language, and I believe teleport them all over the world and change their language, because it would be a... it would be an epitaph. It would be an idol. It would become an idol to humanity. And I will say this. The reason he did that is because he wants our salvation more than he wants our success. God is much more interested in our salvation than our success. In fact, you know what the scripture says? You could have the whole world, yet you could forfeit your soul. We want our success. Now, I want to qualify this. God wants our success as well. God wants everyone in this room successful. Did you just hear that? God wants everyone in this room successful. And of course, then it depends on how you define success, right? That's emotional, financial, relational. God wants you successful, but he wants you saved, and he wants your life, and he wants you in heaven. Much more important to him than your success. He wants your salvation, and then he wants your success. And can I just say that the only way you can have true success is if you have God's salvation. Somebody say amen. Oh my, that's some good news right there. Okay, now today, with 4 minutes left, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay, panic and fear must be the reality for the world, but I've got some glorious hallelujah buts. Two things that I've realized in these days. Number one, I realize that I have been afforded, me, Todd Pratt, I've been afforded a heightened level of grace, like a God bubble, if you will. Not to lord it over people, but as a strength to pastor people through this season of our lives. I know that full well. I can sense it. I can feel it. Tammy and I know it's on us. There is a grace on us, afforded us to be able to mount up, to mount with Jesus, the victory for his people. Hallelujah. I talked about this a number of weeks ago, the peace and the joy that has been ours in the midst of COVID-19. It's a gift that has been given to us by God. And the only thing we can be is eternally thankful, grateful for his good gifts. You know, the Bible says that God gives good gifts. Got to get that knee healed right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Kimberly, let's pray for Kimberly right now. And I also want to pray for Mallory right now. I just realized that. Jody? Oh, okay, stand up. Everyone stand. Well, the ones that can. You guys don't stand, but you will stand after we pray because you're going to be miraculously healed. Okay. Now, can we pull hard for Jesus? Can we pull hard in this room right now? Okay, let's believe. And I want to just hear the roar of believing and the roar of prayers happening as we are agreeing for Jody. What you fell or what happened, Jody? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. And for Kimberly and for Mallory, we need miracles. Mallory is back in the hospital. We need her healed in Jesus' name. Let's agree together. Father, we're calling on you. We're blessing you and we're magnifying the name of Jesus. And we say, Lord, you're greater than our cares. You're greater than our burdens. You're greater than our fears. And you're greater than our infirmities. And we are standing, Lord. Thank you that we have testified to what you've already done, Lord, today in miraculous healing. And now, again, we're calling on your name and we're asking Jesus for legs and for knees to be healed in Jesus' name. And we're asking for Mallory right now that she be healed. We command infirmity to get off her. We command this lung situation for these clots. We command them to leave in Jesus' name. And then the presence of Christ, the presence of Jesus would be manifest in that hospital room. And she would feel you, sense you, know you're there. And not just know you're there, but know you're healing. And Father, thank you for what you're doing. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. And thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. And we're going to hear the testimonies of what you're doing. We're standing and we're testifying. And Lord, we're like the widow. We're like the tenacious one that kept praying and kept praying and kept praying until you got the answer. We're praying and we're praying and we're praying and we're praying until we get this answer, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, have a seat. Yeah, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Next thing that I realize, and not only have we been afforded a great grace, and it's a grace for his glory. Second thing I've realized is that I can't forget what it used to be like for me. And this is huge. This is probably half of the rest of the message, and to be empathetic for those that are perishing, to be empathetic for those that are fear-filled, to be empathetic for those that are drowning in the midst, in the bowels of poison and hurt and pain, that we are called to be a remedy and to be an answer for those that don't know Jesus yet. Somebody say amen. Now, you have to hear this. This is huge. We have to use our maturity. I'm trusting there are mature people in this room, mature Christians that love Jesus. And for all of us, we have to use our maturity with God as a bridge of hope for the world, not as an island that keeps people away. We are healed, and we've become mature for one reason, and that's to give hope to the world. Not to lord it over people, not to be arrogant over people, not to think we're better than them. God, heavens, heaven, help us. And I'm challenged by this all the time, where the world's getting darker, and people are doing worse things, and bad things, and terrible things. But you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would have done the same thing. I know I would have. I don't even want to think what it would have been like if I didn't have Jesus. We need great empathy for the lost, not a disgust, because we were there. Our trust in Jesus needs to bring them hope, not their lack of trust and direction keeping them from where we are. No. Do you hear me today? Do you hear me today? That's huge. I believe that was a download from God this week. Please let our trust in Jesus be an olive branch to people that need trust. Please. And that brings us into this last point. Yeah, the world's a mess. Captain Obvious, thank you. The world's a mess. But it's different for those in Christ. And it needs to be different for those in Christ. We need to have a higher walk. We need to have a stronger walk. We need to have a more peace-filled walk. Stand, church. Resist, church. Listen to me. Stand and resist. We don't have to give in to the deluge of compromise, of sexual sin, and the filth of this world. We don't have to do that. We can be different. We can be strong. Well, everyone's doing it. I don't care if everyone's doing it. I'm not. Can we say that today? I don't care that the world's sleeping around. I don't care that everyone's jumping from bed to bed. We're not. Because we're different. Because we're walking in light. We're driving darkness out because we have light. We're making a difference. And hear my heart today. So my heart's been aflame this week for this. And I want you to hear it the way I'm saying it. I want you to hear it with love. If we have fear like the world, then we must be living like the world. Now, I'm not talking about just getting drunk and getting stoned and sleeping around and stealing things. And that's the world, yes. But you know what? Gossip is also the world. Slander is also the world. Jealousy is also the world. Hate is also the world. And that's the stuff we're getting free from. It's not just the Captain Obvious stuff. It's the stuff in our heart. We're getting free. We're loving more. We're hating less. And God is doing a thing in our life because we are walking and we're taking a hold of God and we're making a difference because we're letting God make a difference in us. I encourage you, church. I challenge you, church. Child of God, if you know Jesus today, we can walk higher. We can walk purer. We can walk straighter. We can walk cleaner. We can walk with hope and love and be a remedy for this world. The Lord compassionately pleads to us. Fear does not have to be our state. And hear this whole thing out, please. It does not have to be a state of emergency for us. We can have perfect peace in the midst of the storm. That's a promise from God. You say, well, I'm not there. Ask. Ask. God wants us to have perfect peace in the midst of the storm. The world doesn't have these answers. Only God has these answers. That's the beauty of these scriptures that I'm going to be declaring. There's about six or seven scriptures that I'm going to declare, and then I'm going to close. But I just want to simply say something. It's not empty. It's not just platitudes. It's not just patronizing empty foolishness. It's living and it's real. I'll tell you what is empty. I'm 11 years old and I'm being shipped off to a boarding school. And I leave my friends and I leave my family and I'm feeling all alone. I'm feeling scared. And my mom and dad would take me to a boarding school. And every week I would cry myself. That night before I left, I would cry myself to sleep because I was scared and I was alone and I was a panicky child. And I was shipped off to boarding school to try to build something in me. I'll tell you what it built in me. But thank God Jesus delivered me from it. Somebody say amen. I'd call and I'd be bawling and I'd be calling and I'd call my dad and he said this all the time. This was all he had for me. He'd say, son, keep your chin up. It's not working. In fact, there was a rainstorm. I'd be drowning right now. Keep your chin up. And see, that's all you got if you have the world is just empty platitudes. Keep your chin up. And I know what he was trying to say. Hang in there. I love you. Hang in there, Skipper. Aren't you glad that there's more with Jesus than keep your chin up and hang up, hang in there, Skipper?
Hang in there, Skipper. Okay, I will. Thanks a lot. I feel better now.
But God, his word is not just a statement of what, but it's also a beautiful message of why. Hallelujah. See, they talk about this generation and we're a cause generation. We have causes and we believe for things and we're the generation that questions everything and we need the answers. And aren't you glad that God is there and he'll give us answers? Sometimes he doesn't give us answers. Sometimes God can't give you the reason why, and we must trust. But sometimes he does give us the reason why, but we still got to trust. Come on. I thought that was worth the price of admission right there, that line. Still got to trust. Okay, almost done. See, with God, it isn't just a statement of what to do. But it carries with it the beauty of why. The why. See, I've got a remedy. God's got a remedy. Here we go. Do not be afraid. Keep your chin up. Why? Because Jesus said he's with us. Oh, come on. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in him. I can trust him. I've got someone to trust. I've got an anchor to my soul. Do not be anxious about anything because we have the power of prayer. We have the power of God answering our prayers. But by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, Kruma talked about this a few weeks ago. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving. Thank Jesus all the time. You want victory? Thank Jesus all the time. You want victory? Thank Jesus all the time.
Well, the victory hasn't come yet.
I don't care. Thank Jesus for the victory.
I don't feel like it.
I don't care. Thank Jesus for the victory. And the victory will come. Right, Kruma? Thank him. Thank him. Worship him. Adore him. Magnify him. Present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends human comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Somebody say that's good news. It needs to be different for those in Christ because we have the power of God. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? This is what God told Joshua way back in the Old Testament. Same God. He said, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. But there's a why. Because I'm going to be with you wherever you go. You know, if I could have had that promise when I went to Ashbury College, my dad, if he could have known, he could have said, son, Jesus is with you. He didn't know. It's okay. But now I know that God is with me. And now I know that God was with me. Oh, come on. Do not be worried about tomorrow. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, the world's unhinged about fear for tomorrow. Do not be worried about tomorrow. Why? Tomorrow will worry about itself. Jesus promised us today. Now, I looked today up in the Bible. I looked it up in the Greek. And it means today. Just saying. Today! God's given us Sunday, August 9th. Thank you. Is that your final answer? God has given us August 9th. God has given us today. We can walk in him today. We're not going to be worried about tomorrow because he's given us today. That's the promise from God. He's saying, I'm giving you today. See, in the Old Testament, when we wanted to hoard and we wanted to panic and when God was taking the Israelite people on a huge journey away from slavery and death and the world would say, well, what's going to happen? I mean, we'll starve. We have nothing. But God took care of his people. He always has, he always will. And he gave them just enough food for today. In fact, when they tried to this, I always think of like manna, like kind of biscuity, cotton candy, fluffy, bready stuff. That's how I kind of deem, I could be way off. Way off? Okay, anyway, that's the way I kind of picture manna. But God gave people enough manna for the day, and what they'd do is they'd sneak some and they'd put it in their freezer. There was no freezers. It was Old Testament. Work with me. And they would try to keep some, so just in case God didn't pull through, they'd have some for the next day, and when they got to it, it was all rotting and being eaten by worms. And the reason being is because God told them then, and God tells us now, I'm giving you today. Trust him today. I didn't realize I was going to, but you know what? God was all over that today. Almost done. Almost done. Yeah. This is the biggie. If you get nothing else today, I know you got lots, but if you got nothing else, get this. This sums up the whole message. For there's no fear in love. Because. There's the why. And see, the Bible doesn't say because. The Bible says for. All translations, for whatever reason, use the word for. But because is stronger. We like that. Because. There is no fear in love because perfect love is driving out fear. Now, there's an illustration just in that all by itself, but I thought about this today. In fact, last night I thought about this. I attempted to weed the garden out in the front. We made this beautiful garden back, I don't know, a month or two ago, and it was gorgeous. We put stones around it, and we put in these beautiful perennials, and we made the stones all nice and pretty, right? Did we not? Yeah. And we made it beautiful. And then it was six perennials, and there was just lots of barren just soil. And you know what happened? When you leave it be, the weeds come. Now, see, perfect grass will drive out weeds. Perfect perennials will drive out weeds. But if there's nothing, if you don't replace the soil with nothing, if you don't replace the soil with anything, what will come is weeds. You have to replace it with something. So trust me, we're going to change the gardens and they're going to be gorgeous. But perfect something will drive out weeds, just like perfect love drives out fear. See, fear is not going to evaporate all by itself. You can yell and scream, fear, get out. I command you, fear, leave me alone, 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 leave me alone. Until your horse, you know how you get rid of fear? You replace it with love. You drive it off with love. Strong grass, less weeds. Strong love, less fear. Oh my goodness, that's good. Strong love, less weeds. And I was also reminded, yes, perfect love drives out fear, but perfect love also drives, but it also has patience and understanding for those that are fearful. Perfect love drives out fear, but it also has patience and understanding for those that remain fearful. In closing, worship team, come on up here. Ooh, gotta move. In closing. Watch this. Last one. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and self-discipline. Sound mind. A strong, discerning, sound, disciplined mind. See, we're replacing fear with these. Now, the because factor's coming. I turned it around and made it a positive. We're not afraid because God has given us the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. We're different. Not just because we said a prayer 3 years ago or 12 years ago. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Amen. There, I'm a Christian. Okay, that's great. That's the door. That's the start. Now fortify your life with truth and with love. And now allow Jesus to extinguish all the guck. That's the whole Christian life. Good in, garbage out. Good in, garbage out. Say it with me. Good in, garbage out. Say it again. Good in, garbage out. Trash. Is that Americans? I heard trash. Is there Americans in the room? Or rubbish. Rubbish. Get the rubbish out. Hallelujah. All right. Let's love Jesus. We're not afraid because of Jesus. No fear. No fear, church. No fear. Stand with me, church. No fear. No fear. No fear. No fear. We're extinguishing fear with love. We're different because we got Jesus. We walk different because we have Jesus. We talk different because we have got Jesus. I'm going to say some owies, and I want everyone to hear me. I want everyone to love me afterwards. If you don't, that's fine. But I need you to hear this. I need you to hear this. We are light. We're not yelling at darkness. We are shining light. We're not yelling at darkness. Yelling at darkness does nothing. Saying mean, ornery, rotten things on social media does nothing. Speak life. Speak truth. Declare life. Talk about Jesus. Don't agree with how horrible things are. Don't talk about how terrible the government is. Don't talk about how terrible COVID is. And that's for one of two reasons. You'd say it's terrible because it's incredibly dangerous, or you could say it's terrible because it's a farce from the conspiracy monsters to manipulate and control people. Either way, that's yelling at darkness. And we don't yell at darkness. We talk about Jesus. We don't talk about the government. We don't talk about COVID. We talk about Jesus. We give light. We extinguish darkness with light. Oh, come on. Yeah. Somebody say amen.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is Lord. He's Lord.
This service is officially over. God bless you. Have a great day. Have a great week. But especially have a great day, because we're given today.